Now, this communication with him, was that based on your one-time meeting with him, or how many times did you have to see him?
There are dozens. I actually saw him on 5 different days at the aquarium.
The rest
were done long distance.
When he would see you, would he like understand that you were the one he was communicating with whenever you might not have been there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I remember sometimes asking him, do you remember me? And he's like, yes, of course I do. Certainly I do. Yeah, he knew me. In fact, when I did other communications with, I want to introduce another communicator that came into the picture, and this was a 17-year-old boy named Tyler who called me in 2002, and he said, totally unrelated to Keiko, he just called me because he said, I found you on the Internet, and he said, the animals have been talking to me, and I want to learn all I can about animal communication. And he told me some stories of communications that he had had.
With Keiko?
No, not with Keiko. In fact, he didn't know anything about Keiko. I don't think he even knew that Keiko had gone to Iceland. He just had seen the Free Willy movie.
All right.
And he knew he was at the Oregon Coast Aquarium. And he told me about a couple of experiences that he had had that were just really validating. So I said, do you want to try communicating with Keiko? And he goes, oh, sure. And then he went, can I do that? Because he had never communicated with an animal that he wasn't with. So he communicated with Keiko, and actually we had some wonderful conversations, and all of those are in the book as well.
So you can communicate with an animal, even if you've never seen that animal directly?
Oh, sure, sure.
How do you do that?
Same way. Just like I say, either I make the connection through the photograph, and some animal communicators can do it just through the location and the species and description name of the animal.
Why is the photograph important?
I don't know, just for me, I see the picture of the animal, I'm like, oh, hello, and I can connect with the animal that way. And what's really interesting is that I have to have the visual picture to make the connection, and yet I get very few mental pictures or images when we communicate.
Did he know he was dying?
Let me read you our last communication. This was in... Actually, can I back up just a little bit before that to preface it? The last year that he was in Norway, he was isolated from people. They said, everybody stay back. You're ruining our reintroduction process.
Mm-hmm. They wanted him to be wild, I guess,
yep.
Right?
Yep. And I have an email that a BBC World TV correspondent sent me. And he traveled to Takanese Bay, which is where Keiko was the last year of his life, in the fall of 2003 to do a feature for the BBC, and he wrote about what he observed of Keiko. He said, I shot footage of Keiko moping around the dock and never straying far from his handler's boat. I was shocked by Keiko's demeanor. I thought he seemed listless and that his spirit had been broken. I observed him on and off and over the course of 24 hours, and in all that time, he never strayed more than a few meters from the handler's boat, waiting for the next handout of fish. And I have other emails as well from people who visited Keiko where he just basically laid mopelessly the last year of his life next to the dock. So in November of 2003,
close to the moment of dying, right?
No, actually it wasn't. But this is what he said at the end of the communication. He said, I keep hoping they will understand before it is too late. And I asked, what do you mean too late? And he said, before I give up on this new life they want for me, I can be happy here if only people would come to visit. To know I touch the hearts of others makes my life meaningful. He was dead 3 weeks later.
How sad.
Yeah, it was really sad. Because I don't think it had to happen. I think if he could have just been allowed to be with people, he would have been happy.
How did you know that he died?
Let's see. Oh, another person who is mentioned in the book with a couple of communications with Keiko called me one morning, and she said, did you hear about Keiko? And she didn't have to tell me. You know, I could tell what was coming, and she said, you know, Keiko died today.
How'd you feel? What happened?
You know, George, I don't think I've really come to terms with it. I was sad and I was mad both because I don't think it had to happen. And I tried so hard. I mean, I basically devoted the last 5 years of my life to trying to help him be heard and let him be allowed to be with people. And it's just really hard to buck the system like that and get people to really rally behind a cause.
Are you communicating with him now while he's in the afterlife?
I have a couple of times. and I have emails from other people who have. I'll tell you, I purposely didn't put that in the book. I know your audience is much more aware than the average person.
Oh, yeah, we're tuned into that.
Right, but I deliberately left it out of the book because I thought, you know, this is great the way it is, and people are actually very receptive to this whole idea, and let's not, you know, at the end say, oh, by the way, I'm talking to him after he's dead.
Well, is he still content or happy where he is?
He's doing fine, and I've heard that from other communicators as well.
What do they say about where he is? I mean, is it a dimension thing, or is his spirit, assuming he has one, wandering around with what were then humans who are now spiritual? Have their spirits up there?
You know, George, I would, to be honest, answer you honestly, I would have to get those out. I couldn't tell you specifically what they said, because I read them mostly right after he died, within a few months after, and I don't have them with me to really give you a detailed description of how they described it.
But he's somewhere.
Yeah, and doing work at a higher level.
I wonder if he'll ever be reincarnated as a person or something. I've always wondered
about that. It's interesting you say that, because over the years people have often said that if they believe in reincarnation, they say, you know, do animals ever reincarnate back as people, like they're moving up the ladder? And I think it's the reverse. I mean, I think the animals have a lot of things way over us, and maybe we're, you know, we're not at the top of the ladder.
Was your communication with Keiko the most profound than with any other animal? I mean, you talked about your dog and animals like that. Was Keiko what you would call tops on the list?
That very first communication was absolutely the most profound communication that I've ever had.